In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen.
I'm sure many of us, in our relations with one another, we know a person who tries to divide or to come in between friends or in between relations. We know somebody that likes or that can divide people. And actually, this idea of dividing people and dividing relationships is very dangerous and is very disturbing, and it can be potentially disastrous in our relationships with God and with one another. I think St. John the Baptist experienced this a bit today in the reading of the Gospel of today, where his disciples saw that the Lord Jesus and his disciples were baptizing. Of course, as we know from the later Gospel, that it wasn't Christ who was baptizing, but his disciples were baptizing. Because, of course, if Christ baptized, he baptizes with the Holy Spirit. But he reserved this for the church later. So his disciples were baptizing, and then the disciples of John came to him and told him, "Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him." What are they saying to him? They're saying, "Rabbi, the one who you met beyond the Jordan and whom you testified of, the one who you baptized in the Jordan, and you know, and everybody saw this, and the one who you kind of promoted, now he's the one who's basically, you know, stealing or taking your work and taking your following. The people are now going after him." And then he said they're all are going to him. So I think these group of people were trying to come in between St. John and the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll discuss a little bit later how St. John responded to them and how maybe that's significant for us. But the question for us is, how do we deal with people in our life that cause division? How do we deal with the divisive people in our life? Before we answer that question, why is division so bad? We'll answer this question. Why is division so bad? What's the big deal? What if some people form this group and these people form another group? What's the big deal in that? Listen to what the wise Solomon says in Proverbs 6. He says, "These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him." So first he says, six things the Lord hates, and then he follows and says, the seven of them are an abomination to him. So the Lord hates them and they're an abomination. What are they? He says, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and then the one who sows discord among brethren. This was what caused Solomon to say was an abomination. The person who sows discord among brethren, the person who causes division among brethren. So it's so bad because God considers it as being an abomination. And if God considers it as an abomination, then it should be something we label as being bad. Also, it's so bad because it destroys unity. It destroys unity. And this is the essence of what Christ came to do. He came to unite. And I think a nice little piece of, you know, evidence of this was we saw the earth when God created it. Everyone spoke the same language. Until when? Until when? Babel, right? The Tower of Babel. We all learned that in Sunday school. And all of this, then God divided their tongues because they were conspiring to do evil. And then it came on a day later in time where God united the tongues again. When was this? Pentecost. I heard many things. The day of Pentecost. The disciples were able to speak languages they never learned before for the sake of preaching. So we see here that the Holy Spirit wants to unite us together. And not only the Holy Spirit, but the Lord Christ himself. Do you remember in John 17 when he prayed to the Father what he said? Look at the passage here. Look how many times and count how many times he said one. He wants us to be one. What does he say? He says, I pray that they being all the believers, may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. So how many times here he says one? Many times. So actually Christ here is praying for the unity and the oneness of us with him and the Father. So if this is the goal of the Lord Christ, then anything outside of this is bad. Any division is bad. And the church actually, in its old tradition, exemplifies this very nicely. You know the orban that's on the altar? It's made from wheat. So what used to happen in the old days is that people would come and bring offering of wheat from the night before and bring their offering. And from the offering of wheat of all the people in the congregation, they ground it and made flour. And then from the flour, they made the orban, or the korban, that's used in the offering that will eventually become the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, which we will all partake of. So look at the beautiful unity here. We come, each individual offers an offering. Then through the prayers and sanctification of the Holy Spirit, this offering is transformed into the body and blood of Christ. And then we all consume the one body that we participated in and has now become the body of Christ and consume it together as one. Look at the beautiful unity here. So it was God's original intent for us to be united together. So divisiveness destroys this unity. Anytime we try to divide people, this is working against God's plan and his will. Not only is it against God's will, but it also forces people to take sides. Whenever we cause divisions, then it forces people to choose one side or another. There was a contention between two ladies in the church of Philippi that caused some contention, and they were divided. And Paul wrote in the Philippians, he used a verse simply to encourage the believers to help them reconcile. He says in Philippians 4, he says, I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. So they were divided in mind, and he was imploring them, he used his letter to encourage them to be of the same mind, to be united again together. When people are divided, and then this happens all the time in our relationships. One person says this, another person says this, and then the third party, the neutral party, will say, okay, which side are you going to go with? Do you belong to this group or do you belong to this group? The option of loving and accepting both usually isn't an option. Are you going to be my friend or their friend? Are you going to go out with me to lunch or are you going to go out with them to lunch? So it forces people to take sides, and this taking sides certainly destroys unity. It's also really bad because it creates instability and inhibits our growth. When we cause the divisive person, creates instability and inhibits our growth. As we know, when the Lord said, when they accused him of casting out a demon by Beelzebub, he replied to them and said, every kingdom divided against itself can't stand. Can't stand. And then and he says, every city or house divided in itself will not stand. So here he's saying that division will allow, or it will make the house fall. And this is true in any scenario, whether it's in a home. If the home is divided, if the parents can't agree, for example, on how to discipline the children, the house will fall. In what way? The child will go to one parent, and maybe that parent is a little bit tough, and then he goes to the other parent, and the parent says, oh no, don't worry about it, don't worry about what mom said, or don't worry about what dad said. And this actually will affect the child more so than the parents, because the child is the one who is still growing. And the child who grows up in this divided house learns how to manipulate the system and might be the one to lie and cheat the system and their friends and be the one to cheat on exams and try to maybe cheat on their taxes and so on. Also, division is really bad because it increases one's spiritual vulnerability. What do I mean by this? Just like, you know, there's an ancient war strategy of divide and conquer. If I can divide the enemy, I can conquer them easily. And this is actually what Satan's desire is for us. If he can divide the church, a church is easily conquered. If you look at a church that is maybe, for example, trying to be built, and everybody is working together in harmony for the one goal of building the church. And this is, I put this as the at the forefront, whether I agree with some of the procedures or not, but this is the end goal. You'll find that the process will be very smooth. Then you might even have a smaller church that is trying to be built, and there's a stark division among the church. This might take years and years and years simply to build the church because there's a division. This side says yes, and without thinking, this side automatically says no. This, my beloved brethren, will increase our spiritual vulnerability to Satan. To Satan. Listen to what Ecclesiastes says in the book of Ecclesiastes. It says, though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So if I am by myself, I am more vulnerable to the temptations of Satan. But if I'm in a group of people, I have that support for when I am weak. Because we all get weak and we all have our struggles. We all have our ups and downs, right? But at the moment of vulnerability, if I have no one to encourage me and say, hey, you know, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't go there. These people are a bad influence. If I don't have anybody to say that to me, then I can easily fall. So what are some of the causes of divisions among us? I'd say the first one is inflexibility. Inflexibility. What do I mean by this? A person is unable to compromise. Maybe between parents and children, the curfew is always one that always involves going back and forth. You know, the kid wants to stay out later and the parents say, no, come back earlier. But sometimes it's inflexibility with our children might cause the division in the family. I'm not saying to allow them to do what they want by any means, so don't misunderstand me. But this inflexibility, whether it's my way or the highway, tends to cause division, because it's not very easily that we deal with somebody who is like this. Sometimes there could be an inability between spouses to compromise about the budget in their in the house, about you know, if one person, you know, says we shouldn't spend in this way, the other one doesn't agree, but might say, okay, whatever, and then they spend the money behind their spouse's back. This will cause a division. If the husband or the wife, whoever, you know, was deceived, finds out, this will cause a division in the family. Didn't I tell you not to do this? And look at our finances and blah, blah, blah. We have kids who are going into college and so on. Also, part of inflexibility is how we handle the difference of opinion. Some people can't handle the difference of opinion very well. Again, it's either my way or the highway. I say the opinion, so I believe what I believe is right, and nothing else can be, you know, can be true. But this, my beloved, is a foolish way to deal with one another. It's a foolish way to deal with one another. There's nothing that says we can never disagree. Unity does not mean we never disagree. Some people, when they go into marriage, they feel like we have to agree about everything. Or they think that they, oh, I love this girl and I love this guy because we never disagree. There'll come a day when you'll disagree because no two people are exactly alike. But the thing we need to recognize is that it's okay to disagree. It's okay to have a difference of opinion. But what happens when we disagree? How far does it go? Does it cause a division because I have a difference of opinion? Of course, sometimes it depends on the subject matter that we're talking about. You know, we can't talk about facts and then say there's a difference of opinion in a fact, because the fact is the fact, whether I agree with it or not. Also, along with inflexibility is stubbornness. Stubbornness is characterized by those who are determined not to change their attitude or their position in spite of good reason. So even if there's good reason for me to change my mind, I'm not going to change it because I already said what I said. My word is my word, even if it's not right, or it doesn't, there's sound reason that goes against it. We should be willing to yield. This can cause divisions as well, my stubbornness. Also, the sense of competitiveness will also breed division. Mentioned before that competitiveness, the underlying thing with competitiveness or a competitive person is it always has to be a winner and a loser. In every discussion or every situation, I'm at war with them to see who turns out to be the winner. This kind of attitude of competitiveness will always breed division, because there's always got to be a winning team and a losing team. They automatically, their mind divides into two teams. It can't be we both win. It can't happen. Also, the jealous person is also a cause of division or jealousy in general. Just like in today's gospel, the people that were following John were jealous of the disciples of the Lord Jesus who were baptizing as well. So jealousy, we have to be cautious with as well. And lastly, heeding to ungodly counsel can cause division. And here, this is maybe the most important because it causes division in the spiritual sense. It can cause division among the church, among the family, and even among myself, my internal self. I think a great example of this is King Rehoboam. After Solomon died, his son Rehoboam was next in line. And Solomon put a lot of burden on the people. So when the new king came, they made a petition and said, "Take it easy on us, we're tired." So the king says, "Okay, let me think about it." So he gets the elders, the wise people in the kingdom, and takes their opinion. And they tell him, "Be easy with the people, and they will follow you forever, and they will listen to whatever you have. Be kind to them." Then he said, "Okay." Then he got the counsel of the young youth around his age, and he said, "What do you guys think?" And they said, "No, be harsh with them. Tell them that your pinky is bigger than your father's waist, and be harder on them, and they will be forced to submit to you." So unfortunately, he took the counsel of his peers, and he told the people this, and then the kingdom was divided for many decades after that because of this unwise decision, where he allowed or heeded the ungodly counsel. How often, as maybe youth growing up, do we hear counsel from our friends at school that go contrary to the counsel we hear in church and from our parents? This heeding the ungodly counsel can be detrimental and cause division in your family, can cause division in your own salvation or your own life, your own spiritual life, and can cause divisions in the church. When I make these poor decisions because of what people and my peers tell me outside, then I come to church with these ideas and these suggestions, and then I become a stumbling block to those who are with me here in the church, then you become a source of division. You've become a divisive person. So the question that we begin with, how do we deal with those people in our life that cause division? Number one is to refuse to go along with the complaint. Refuse to go along with the complaint. And this is what St. John did. St. John, when they told him, "Hey, the disciples of Christ are baptizing and they're taking all the people with them," John didn't respond to them about the complaint. But what did he do? He told them, "A man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from above." He's telling them that what I'm doing here, this baptism of repentance that I'm doing, I received this from above. I didn't make this of my own accord. And then he tells them, "I am not the Christ. I have been sent before him." Makes it very clear. I'm not the one you're looking for. I'm not the Messiah. I'm the one that has come to prepare the way for the Messiah, but I'm not him. So he didn't respond to their, enticement to divide. And then lastly, he says, "He who has the bride is the bridegroom." And the friend of the bridegroom rejoices when he sees the bride. So he's saying that I'm not the one that you're looking for or you think who I am, but he's the one. He didn't give way to this divisive complaint that they posed. So maybe the first way we can deal with a person who's divisive is not, or refuse to go along with the complaint. If somebody comes to you at work and says, you know, do you believe what the manager was doing so and so and so and so? And begins about a list of complaints. Refuse to go along with the complaints. Pick out maybe a good quality in the manager and say, you know what, but they got so and so. Or you can, you know, say, you know, I know it's, you know, let's pray for him or her. So refuse to go along with the complaint. Number two is sometimes not responding at all is a way to deal with those who cause division. If you remember the story of Zacchaeus, we all know very well. After the Lord Christ looked up to Zacchaeus and told him, today I'm going to come and have dinner with you in your house. You know what happened? Sometimes we read it and we don't really pay much attention to it. He says what? It says, but when they saw it, the people who were around, there was a big crowd. When they saw how the Lord Christ spoke to Zacchaeus and invited himself to his house, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. And how did, you know, St. Luke know this? So they must have been saying it for this to be recorded. So they heard it. People saying, look at this. This man is going to be as a guest to a man who is a sinner. Did Christ respond to them? No. Did Zacchaeus respond to them? No. Because it had nothing to do with them. Had nothing to do with them. They have like a saying here in America, this is an A-B conversation. You know, see your way out, right? So I'm having a conversation. It has nothing to do with you. Okay, I don't have to respond to it. If this person, this C person is coming to cause division between A and B, don't respond. Number three is avoid. Avoid the situation or avoid the person. St. Paul tells us in Romans, he says, now I urge you, brethren, note those who will cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine that you have learned and avoid them. So he tells us, avoid those who cause divisions among you. Try to as much as possible, of course. Why? Because this division is contagious, just like any other sin. Sin is contagious. So when one person starts a division, you'll find that this is contagious. This sense of rebellion and division is contagious. Just look at the country today. They find one thing after another to cause more division in the country. Rather than bringing the people together and trying to work things out civilly, a lot of people just incite anger and resentment towards one another. Because they say, you know, it's just like when you see two people arguing, you find people gathered around there and cheering. They like this idea and sense of division. It's almost like a competition or a game to some people. He also says here, those who cause divisions and offenses. And the division here, he says, was regarding the faith, the doctrine. So now he's saying us to beware of those who cause division in doctrine. Meaning, what's the doctrine? It's the teaching of the church and of Christ that was passed down through the Bible and through the fathers and those who preceded us. So he says, be careful of those who distort this doctrine that we're passing to you. Those who say that the Holy Communion is not really the body and blood of Christ. It says avoid those people that cause this division. Because it can't be both. It's either the body and blood or it's not the body and blood. So it says avoid those who cause division. I have many people who might say, Abuna, I like to go listen to this particular person who is giving a sermon. He's very charismatic, he's very energetic. But maybe we have to be careful of the teaching that they teach. Just because somebody is charismatic and speaks well doesn't mean everything he says is correct. Right? So we have to be very cautious of those who cause division in the doctrine of the apostles that was handed down to us. And fortunately, in our Orthodox Church, has done a wonderful job of preserving that for us. Also, he says, avoid those who are cause offenses, those who are offensive. Those who are offensive are those who are offensive to your salvation. Those who are offensive to your spiritual life. He says one of the ways is to avoid them. Do you remember back in the day with Abraham when he left his father and his family and God told him to go to a land I will show you? He took with him his father and Lot, right? And then it came, and then his father died and he continued with Lot. And then it became where Lot gained so much wealth and so did Abraham that they had to part ways. And Lot chose which land? Sodom and Gomorrah, right? The land flowing with milk and honey. He chose the best land. He went there and dwelt there. But along with the land that was flowing with milk and honey, it was also overflowing with sin. Right? And look what St. Peter describes, how he describes Lot. He says, the righteous Lot who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. So him putting himself among those who were living lawlessly tormented his righteous soul. They kept him from growth because he put himself among people who are living an ungodly and unrighteous life. Avoid those who cause offenses. Those who offend you spiritually, try to avoid them. Those who don't hold your moral standard, try to avoid them. Surround yourself with those people whom you want to become. Another way we can deal with those who cause division is to reinforce with them the benefit of unity. You can speak with them about the benefit of unity and doing things as a team and together. Express your commitment to unity, even if a person disagrees. I'll bring to you an example that you might find this is contrary to what you're saying, of St. Paul and St. Barnabas. They had a division among them upon the person of St. Mark, our father, St. Mark. In the beginning, St. Mark was working very well. Then it came to a point where he kind of got scared and went away. And he left St. Paul to minister alone. St. Paul remembered this. So the next time, the next missionary trip they're wanting to take, Barnabas says, let's take Mark. And Paul says, no, he's not coming with me again. And Barnabas says, no, we should take him. And St. Paul says, no, we shouldn't take him. So a dissension between them arose. And then Paul ended up taking Silas and Barnabas took Mark with him. So now they became two teams instead of one team for the sake of ministry. But the division, this division wasn't a division in a goal and in focus, but it was a division in work. My personality, I want somebody who's going to be hardworking and who's going to be dedicated. This was the most important thing with St. Paul. St. Barnabas looked at maybe his character and said, I'll deal with this part of him and I can work with him about his commitment, but I love his character. So it wasn't a division in goal. And how do we know this? Because when St. Mark went with St. Barnabas later and they were successful in the ministry, then when he writes a letter to St. Paul writes a letter to Timothy, he tells him, bring Mark with you because he is useful to me. So St. Paul wasn't rejecting St. Mark simply because he didn't like him or he didn't favor him. No, it's just a certain quality. And when this quality was corrected, he said, bring him with you because he's very useful. So we need to reinforce the idea of unity among those who cause division. Tell them the benefit of being together is much greater than the benefit of being divided among each other. And lastly is to pray for them. The people who cause division need prayer, because you'll find the people who usually cause division are alone. They don't have many friends. If they have friends, they don't have any deep friends. So they need our prayers as well. So how do we deal with those who cause division? We refuse to go along with the complaint. We don't respond. We avoid, reinforce the benefit of unity. And lastly, we pray for them. May God grant us to deal with those who cause division in our life in a godly manner. And if it's me who causes division, to look at my pattern of behavior and be one that is promoting unity rather than division. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.